Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate brokers for Chicago real estate brokers. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host and guide through the show. And as always, we start out the show by saying thank you to the listeners. We have, gosh, thousands of you now. And the only reason we have thousands of listeners is because, well, I'd like to think it's because the content is so amazing, and I believe it is, not because of me, but because of our guests, but also because you share this podcast with other realtors. So we spend no money on marketing, so we're really appreciative that you have sent this out and made this a popular thing. And I think we're probably still the only podcast in Chicago that has these kind of conversations. If you're new to the show, what we do is talk to top 1% producers and ask them how they became successful. We believe success leaves clues, and we're 80 plus episodes in now, and we continue to keep going. So we appreciate everyone's listening and also passing this along. You can download and listen and stream every single episode we have on our website, keepingitrealpod.com. Obviously, you can find us as well at iTunes, Google Play, and please subscribe to our Facebook page, Keeping It Real Pod, where we post links to every episode and also links to our guests' information as well. On to our interview with Michael Hall. Today on the show, we have Michael Hall from Baird & Warner. Michael's client-centered approach to real estate has led him to consistently outpace the market. In 2018, Michael finished in the top 50 agents, brokers in Chicago, which is a very big deal, by the way. I'm pausing his bio for a moment. There's 40,000 realtors in the Chicagoland area. Michael finished in the top 50 last year, and he's also second in the city at his firm, Baird & Warner, for sales volume and units. Originally a teacher, Michael's philosophy is to provide each and every client with an unprecedented level of service, best resources in the industry, and the benefit of expertise that results from 24 years as a top real estate consultant and broker. A true student of real estate, Michael is constantly looking for innovative ways to improve his business and help his clients reap more. In 2014, he founded the Michael Hall Group at Baird & Warner to better serve his buyers and sellers and foster synergy among fellow colleagues. The results have created raving fans and business growth far outpacing the market at large. And we could not be more excited to talk to Michael Hall. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the show. And I say this a lot because we only interview top producers, but we know you don't have time to do this. And the fact that you've made time for us is really, really, we couldn't be more appreciative. So, and I, on behalf of the listeners, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, you, boy, have had a very impressive career here in Chicago. Everybody knows you. I would like to know about how you got into real estate, you know, 24 years ago. And can you mind telling us that story?
Sure, absolutely. So I actually was working on a PhD in Spanish literature and was on track to become a professor when I decided to take a year off and reevaluate if that was really the career that I wanted. And in that year off, I started a business venture, which did quite well. And I had, within a year's time, I had two locations working on a third.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, you know, having money is kind of good. And yes. I'm pretty good at this business stuff. I don't know, maybe I don't want to be a teacher. So I came to Illinois to speak with my grandfather, who he's now passed away, but he was the smartest person I knew. And he'd been involved in commercial real estate, large projects, and was just the smartest man I've ever known. And I said, you know, well, I don't know, I guess I should finish up my PhD. And he said, no, don't do that. And I said, why? You know, I'm thinking, why doesn't he want his grandson to get a PhD? He said, because you have very expensive taste, young man. You'll never be happy on a teacher's salary. And then he added, and let me tell you something about rich people. He said, rich people own things. They own businesses, they own property, but they don't work for someone else. My grandfather had never worked for anybody in his life. He was an entrepreneur. So he felt very strongly that I would be a great salesperson. He said, you need to get into real estate. You will be a great salesperson. He said, get into real estate, start selling and start buying. And, you know, it was just like, wow, I never thought about that. I'd been so scholastically devoted my whole life that it was just came out of nowhere. And somehow I took a leap of faith, and that's what I did. I got my license a few months later. And by the third year, I was number one in my office and, you know, just kind of catapulted to where I am today after 24 years.
Wow. What do you think you did in your first year? I don't mean production-wise or number of clients, but what did you do day one? I know it's hard probably to remember, but what did you do in your first year as far as how building your business?
Well, the first thing that I did, as a salesperson, I mean, I really, that's really what I am. I decided right away that the best thing to do to have sales was to be in front of somebody to sell them something. If you're not in front of somebody who might buy your product, well, you're probably not going to sell very much of your product. So I devoted every single day to connecting to humans who might be buying or selling real estate. And it was a little easier to do that when I first started because there was no internet when
right,
I started.
Sure.
So, you know, people got the Saturday paper, little black and white photo, every picture looked the same, and they had to go to the Sunday open house to see it. So I open house like crazy. I didn't have listings because I was a brand new agent in my 20s. So I held open houses on other agents' listings, and I just met people and connected and conversed and talked. And before long, you know, they had assisted me as their buyer's agent to help them find properties.
Yeah, it's funny that the doing open houses when you don't have your own listings still seems to work today. And a lot of the people we've interviewed on the show, even new more brokers who have been more recently introduced to the business, that's almost a universal experience, unless of course you just happen to have, you know, dozens of friends waiting to buy and sell condos right when you get your license, which isn't usually the case for most people. So the fact that you were doing open houses, it still seems to work. And so yeah, that's very, very, very interesting. Tell us a little bit about how your business has grown over the last 24 years.
Well, it's been for the most part organic, you know, hard work. You know, people always want to know when you hear realtors discussing other top agents, everybody's like, what's their secret?
Right.
You know, what's their secret? You know, what's the ancient secret? And there really is no secret. You know, good business is one small idea after another that you implement. You don't just come up with the idea, you actually execute it. And it's one tiny little idea, one followed by another. So basically, you get 1-3% better every single year. So you've been in the business 10 years, you're 100% better at what you do and your business. So part of it is just, you know, smart, organic growth. But I did have a phase where I catapulted. And that was when at the time, I think I was selling like around $12 million, $13 million a year.
Sure.
And feeling kind of stressed out. And I had, you know, marketing, prospecting programs that I had going. I was working canceled and expired.
Sure.
When I would sell a property, I would send out a just sold to the neighborhood saying, you know, I just sold your neighbor's home. Call me. And so, but what happened is I'd get slow and I'd prospect.
Right.
And then I would get busy again and I wouldn't prospect.
Right.
And so I realized that if I wanted to grow, I had to keep the prospecting going. And so I had to really dedicate a chunk of time in my day when that took place. The next thing I knew, I was like 9 p.m. at the office, printing out flyers, right, stuffing envelopes, you know, getting to the office early. And then I decided to hire someone to help me because I realized, well, if this is profitable, why don't I just double what I'm doing, and then that will pay for this, the salary of this person that does this and executes it for me. So that was a big leap of for my business, was to actually bring in somebody to make sure that the prospecting occurred every single day with regularity.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world, and certainly easy for a broker once they get busy with having clients where they're spending you know, maybe seven of if you're working an 8-hour day, which I know you probably work much longer than that, but if you're spending, you might be spending 6 to 7 hours a day servicing existing clients, and not, you know, then just the outbound marketing, meeting new people might fall by the wayside. So hiring somebody for you seems like that worked really well to enable you to continually serve your clients and also keep the prospecting up.
It did. The only problem is that it worked too well. And within 2 years, I was on, you know, the verge of a nervous breakdown because, you know, we couldn't keep up. So then I hired, instead of, you know, I had my part-time person that ran the prospecting, which for me was primarily mail and some online stuff. And then I ended up hiring a licensed agent who came on and helped me do the showings. And ultimately, you know, I decided that, you know, I think I could provide better service if I had other people doing the things that I'm really bad at. And I think that's the key for all business owners. You have to look at what you're good at and do that. And what you're bad at, have somebody else do. So I'm a nightmare with paperwork. I hired someone to do the paperwork. I wasn't good at following up on the prospecting. I hired somebody for that. So you just sort of decide what you should parcel off and have other people do. And as you do that, it creates more time for you to do what you're really good at. And then if you focus all your energies on the things you're really good at, you will grow your business. It will happen. And that's what happened to me. So my team went from a person and a half to 2.5 to 3.5 to now it's 4.5 people.
Wow.
Not including me. So I'm the extra person.
You're the half.
I'm the half. That's
it. It's, you know, and for a lot of our listeners too, who think, well, I'm not a top producer, I can't afford to bring on someone else. I think I would challenge that, because there are, thankfully, due to our interconnectivity with the world, there are lots of people that you can hire who aren't even necessarily local, might be global. For example, I have a person I hire for $10 a week. And what she does is she calls me every morning at 7:30 in the morning. She's from the Philippines. And she asks me, there's some habits I'm trying to cultivate, healthy habits in my life. And she, about 10 questions. She asks me every morning, she just goes down the list. It's a 90-second phone call. And it has made a tremendous difference in my life, because it gets me to actually follow through on some of these things. But it only costs me $10 a week, and it's the best $10 I spend. So if anyone's listening, there are resources to find, you know, maybe it's on a smaller scale, but you can find help, especially for, you know, for very specific tasks.
You can, and you'll reap that reward. If you're smart with the investment, you'll reap that reward in the same year. So it's, you know, it's not like, you know, I think people feel like they can't afford it, but I would argue you can't not afford it, because for every dollar you put in, you're going to make more than what you put in if you do it wisely. So my recommendation is to look at what's working for other agents and to mimic that. And that's kind of what I did. I looked at, well, who's big? Who's doing a lot? Oh, that person's doing expireds and canceled. Oh, that person is, you know, doing video online blogging. So you see what other people are doing, and then you start to do the same things, and you find, you know, what's a good match for you and your personality.
I agree. And I also think that brokers often forget that top producers are also, at least the ones that we've reached out to, for example, people like Michael, who so generously is here, they don't really have time, but they make time because they tend to be willing to share, hey, here's what I've done. As Michael said, there really aren't any secrets, or if there are, no one has yet shared any real secrets with me on this podcast, but I don't know that there are secrets, like Michael said. But it's funny, every time I do a podcast every month with Carrie McCormick from At Properties, and she comes on and says, here's what brokers need to know about what's going on in the market. And it's very generous of her. And she says every single time she does an episode, she gets about 4 or 5 brokers who call her, say, hey, I heard you on the podcast. Do you have a few minutes to give me some advice? And she very generously does that. But I find that, you know, that people like Michael, are actually pretty approachable. Certainly we reached out and he was very agreeable to come on. But yeah, you can learn so much. I mean, the whole purpose of this podcast is to collect these great ideas so other brokers can learn. But yeah, I think that is really, couldn't be overstated. Like, learn from people. They say stand on the shoulders of giants, find out what they did and move forward, and don't try to reinvent the wheel. Let's talk about the client experience, because obviously you, it's not just a matter of prospecting. Obviously your clients really, really like your service. Can we talk a little bit more about why you think clients gravitate towards you and why you think your business has grown so much over the years?
Well, I think, you know, I say this all the time to my, you know, when I'm training other agents and helping them, I say, you know, look, it's like a date. The first time you meet a buyer, it's a date. The first time you meet someone to do a listing presentation on their home, it's a date. Right. It is mostly really about chemistry between personality types. And so I think that when I'm in front of a buyer, in front of a seller, I try to treat them like they're my best friend from college. I'm thinking, what would this, and I say, what do you want to talk about? What are you looking for? I mean, ask a lot of questions. And I think that if you listen more than you speak, you'll be able to connect with somebody. And it's really all about the connection. And sometimes you don't have chemistry and they end up with another realtor. And that's okay. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of realtors, and we're not all matches. But I think beyond that, there are people do also focus on the differences between realtors that they are considering working with.
Sure.
And, you know, for me, those differentiators, I think, are, well, first, we're very down to earth, very approachable. And we, you know, we really try to, you know, make it a pleasant, serene experience for them. But beyond that, 24 years of experience, I know I always ask people, how did you pick me? And they, a lot of times will say, well, you've got a lot of experience, or they'll say, oh, your review's online.
Right.
So I think for me, it's mainly because I'm getting old, 24 years and having lots of sales in the neighborhood. That's one reason. I also keep my stats. I think every agent should be keeping track of their days on the market, their list to sale price ratio, see how it compares to the neighborhood at large. That is part of my listing presentation. And a lot of people have said, we picked you because you talked about things that other realtors did not. And if you, and then of course, as you do this and you do it well, a majority of my business comes from repeat clients and referrals.
Sure.
And as a result, we have a lot of great reviews, which we would not have if I did not have such an amazing team behind me.
Do you, just for my own curiosity, as far from a review perspective, are you asking clients after a transaction or maybe even before the end of a transaction, are you proactively saying, hey, we'd really appreciate it if you would write a review of your experience, or do you just let that happen on its own?
Absolutely, positively, 100%. We ask people.
Yeah, I assumed you did.
To do reviews. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for us, I mean, sometimes we ask twice.
Sure.
Because sometimes we'll ask and we know that we did a great job. We know they loved us and we think they're probably
sure,
busy.
Sure, of course.
And, yeah, so we sometimes we don't get the review the first time, but we'll ask one more time. We don't usually ask for more than
sure.
two times. But yes, you should be asking every client for a review. Unless you don't think it'll be a good one.
I had this experience recently where I went into unrelated to real estate, just walked in for, I was getting a storage unit and I, for it was like $35 a month. It was very, it wasn't even one of their more expensive units, and a small thing I just needed for half a year. And you would have thought that I made their entire sales quota, the way they treated me, so like that I was a big deal, and I know I wasn't. And it was so over the top in a good way, and really went on to make me feel like I was this special client of theirs. And then at the end of it, they, after I was paying and signing everything, they said, would you, please, if you would write us a review, that would be the nicest thank you. Because I was saying, wow, you guys really treated me well. He said, well, gosh, you should really write us a review. And then I got back to my desk and I forgot about it because I, you know, like you were saying, people get busy. They sent me an email the next day and said, hey, don't mean to bug you, but boy, we would love it if you could share your experience. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot. And I went on and then I wrote it on Facebook, Facebook, Google, I think even in Yelp. So I did three different reviews for literally a $30 a month service because I went, I have never been treated so well. So I think you're asking for it is a very good idea because people are busy.
People just get busy. Absolutely. They're usually happy to do it. They just get busy. So, yep.
And, you know, we have thousands of listeners now, which I am very grateful for as well, because it's a lot of fun to do these when people listen. One of the biggest questions we get from our listeners is, hey, I would like to be a top producer. And again, I know there are no secrets or no magic formulas, and hard work is always the real answer. Are there any specific techniques or strategies that you would recommend? Maybe somebody who's brand new or somebody who's just looking to, you know, grow. Anything that you think would be helpful for the listeners?
Absolutely. I mean, look, when you first start, you don't have any clients.
Right.
So 100% of every working hour should be prospecting.
Yes.
And really, I tell this to all of the agents that I train. I want you to spend at least 50% of your day prospecting for new clients, getting out in front of people. Your marketing systems now are fairly automatic, right? It leaves a lot of time for you to grow your business. And even if you're out with buyers, you know, you're not showing 8 hours a day with buyers. So you've got a lot of time and you need to spend, I find that newer agents are most of the time not spending a lot of time prospecting. And so every day that you do not get in front of potential new clients, whether that's face-to-face, online, social media, or you get in front of them by sending a piece of mail, is another day that you will not get a paycheck.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of agents out there who today maybe didn't do any prospecting. And so it's you really have to spend at least 50% of your time on prospecting. And once you say, and if you say to me, I'm too busy to spend 50% of my time on prospecting, then my answer is you're making enough money to pay somebody else to spend 50% of your time on prospecting.
Right.
If you really want to have growth. And I think that the last thing that I would say is don't give up. So many of the new agents, they do something for 2 months or 3 months. You know, maybe they try open houses and they do it for 3 months and they don't get a sale. And they say, oh, I'm just not good at open housing, and they give up. I'm telling you, it takes time. These are seeds that you plant and they take time. And the last bit of advice I would give, and this is good for everybody. And honestly, if I had applied this to my own business, I would be retired and filthy rich now, instead of here talking with you, although I'm happy I'm here talking with you. And that is, do not let perfect get in the way of progress.
Yes.
And I tell my clients this all the time because I did for years. I was such a, type A, I'm a very type A detail oriented person. And so I wanted to maintain control of every aspect of my business. So even though I really needed help, I thought, no, I can give better business by doing everything myself. And when I had new ideas, I didn't really execute them because I worked on them for months and never felt they were perfect. And now we launch. We take a reasonable amount of time when we have an idea, but then we launch it and you tweak it as you go. And I find a lot of new agents, I see them in the office. They're sitting at a desk all the time. And I see they're working on their listing presentation, but they work on it for like weeks. So just don't let perfect get in the way of progress. It's about reaching out. It's about connecting. It's about, you know, being a human, helping another human with something they need. In the end, that's really all real estate is. It's really all sales is it's people. People who need things, people who give them things. So it's really about people. Don't worry too much about your forms. Don't worry too much about your listing presentation. I remember when I felt about 4 years ago, I felt like my listing presentation wasn't that great and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I met with Millie Rosenbloom, who everybody knows. She's the number one agent at Barry Warner. And I went out to lunch with Millie, and Millie took my listing presentation. I wanted her to look at it, and she set it on the side and she said, listing presentation. She said, they just want to talk to you. She said, sometimes I don't even open it. She said, just ask them what they want, tell them what you do, have a conversation, make a connection. And it was awesome because all of a sudden I let go of the anxiety of my listing presentation not being perfect. And I realized it was about connecting with the people. So, you know, you should have a good listing presentation, you should tweak it. But I have definitely beat out other realtors who I'm sure had better listing presentations. But that's because I didn't let that perfecting it get in the way of connecting with the people. So just don't let perfection get in the way of progress.
Yeah. And I think that can manifest in particular for newer brokers. The biggest fear I hear from brand newly licensed brokers is, you know, with respect to going out and connecting face to face and meeting people every day, as you recommend, the big question or the fear, I believe, is what if they ask me something and I don't know the answer? And I go, well, of course you're not going to know the answer. You're brand new and it's okay. All you have to say is that is an amazing question. Let me double check with my team so I can get you the best possible answer. I'll get right back to you. right? And 99% of the time, that is a good enough, at least immediate response, and then go back and get the answer. And like, don't worry about knowing everything, because you won't. But don't let that stop you from going out and meeting people. I mean, I say I don't know, and I'm not a producing realtor, but in my own business, I say I don't know all the time, and I've been doing this quite a while. So I think this idea of knowing everything or having everything perfected is really just gonna stop you in your tracks, like Michael said. But yeah, I hear that a lot from new brokers who are just worried that if someone's gonna ask a question that they don't know. It's like, that's okay.
Yeah. People don't care if you know everything. They care if you're honest and you can get them the answers they seek.
Right. And hopefully everyone listening works at a firm where they can get, of course, those answers. And if you don't, you deserve to work at a firm that does provide good support, because for new brokers, obviously, that's the biggest thing they need, is answers to questions from their clients. Obviously, a firm like Baird & Warner is going to be able to provide that. One other thing I wanted to ask this, because I normally never get to this question. We always ask every guest ahead of time, tell us the answer to this question. I never get to it, but I thought this one was interesting, and I would like to get to it, about you had I know you're not going to reveal the name, but you had worked with a celebrity at one point, and you had a funny story about finding them a place, if you don't mind telling that.
Oh, yeah. So I was fortunate enough to have a client who worked at Harpo Studios with Oprah Winfrey. So every once in a while, the celebrities that would come in would be interested in seeing real estate here in Chicago. And so I had the fortune of being able to take a few of these celebrities out. And I had one in particular who wanted a view, but she wanted to be able to jump out a window and be caught on that thing that you see in the movies, the circle thing that the firemen.
Oh, sure.
You know, because she said, I'm terrified of fire. So it was of course a challenge to find something, and she wanted to be downtown. So imagine trying to be downtown and having a view, but I want to be able to jump out a window if there's a fire.
Wow. Were you able to actually find something for that person, or?
We found something that she liked, and in the end, she did not purchase anything in Chicago. I think that, it was an idea that she toyed with. And quite frankly, I think she was really surprised by our prices here. She thought they would be more inexpensive than they really are. And so, which is a common thing, of course.
Boy, that is funny. I wouldn't even know how to begin to answer a question like that when somebody says, well, you know, I need to be able to, I guess that just means keep them low to the ground, I guess. But
yeah, well, you know what? This is the new thing here that we are calling ourselves matchmakers.
Oh, I like it.
So yeah, that's our big thing. We're releasing a new website in a couple of weeks, and we're going with the new advertising marketing blitz. And we feel like we're matchmakers. So I don't care if you want a place that, you know, your dog has his own balcony, like we'll try to find it for you. That's the thing, you know, because that's if, you know, once again, it's people want things, we give them. So when somebody says, I want to have a view, but I want to be able to jump out a window and live, you know what? I dug and I scratched and I found something. So it's a big city. You can find almost everything here if you don't give up.
Well, and I think to that point, you know, the client says, this is what's important to me. And the broker says, great, let me work on that and get back to you, right? You didn't have the answer right away. You went and found it. And and I think this idea of caring, which obviously you do, as evidenced by, I don't think success is by accident. And I think that, you know, really caring and being able to say, let me see what I can do, is often probably a bit understated in this industry. I think there's a lot of brokers who don't realize how important, you know, going that extra step, the hard work portion, really goes to demonstrate care. You know, it's, I care enough about you to find that dog balcony for you, and I'm going to, you know, do my best to do it. And I think a lot of brokers probably wouldn't go that extra step.
Yeah, for sure. I find a lot of brokers are sort of, they have a formula. And when somebody falls outside of the formula, they're not sure they're interested. But I would say this, if you go out of your formula, and you find somebody what they want, you will have a fan for the rest of your life.
Oh gosh, no, yeah, no question about that. And that, of course, you know, it's how almost all of us find our broker through somebody we know, or a referral from somebody we know. And we just forget just how important it is that every client is, or at least as many clients as possible, are raving fans, which means you do have to go above and beyond. And obviously, Michael does that. Well, I have, I think we are getting to the end here. We've gone through so much stuff. I did want to ask you one more question. I apologize. One last question about you. You wrote a funny experience to us about getting locked onto a rooftop deck, which I imagine you are not the first person to have done that. Not the first realtor for sure. Could you tell us that story?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was in Ukrainian Village. It was a long time ago, probably 9 or 10 years ago at least. But it was in Ukrainian Village and. It was really actually a small building, like a 4-story building. And I was showing the penthouse and we went out and I did not have the keys. They were on the kitchen counter. Of course, the door swung shut and the door handle was locked. And it was like 1:00 PM. So nobody was home. We were sort of pounding and yelling. And of course my buyer, everybody, like the whole party was out on the deck, you know? So, it could have been a disaster, but I thought, you know, I never panic. You just can't panic. Life's too short to panic. Unless you're a heart surgeon. I mean, that's the beauty of being a real estate agent. You're not likely to have one of your clients die on you. So, you know, I just took a deep breath and I thought, well, this will give us a good time to talk about what they want and build some rapport, you know. But it was, in the end, it ended up being really funny to them. They were very nice about it. And we did talk and we really did connect in a way that we might not have otherwise. Although I don't recommend this as a technique. So, so eventually we really were up there probably for almost 2 hours.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And yeah, it was a long time because people were going by in the street and we were waving and yelling, but they were either not hearing us or they were just like,
not sure what to do with that information. Yeah.
Yeah. And so finally somebody, like it was almost 3 PM and somebody who lived in the building was walking up and I was able to say, hey, we're in the penthouse. It's unlocked. If you can come let us in. And so a neighbor went into the penthouse unit and opened it up for us.
Oh my gosh. That's an amazing 2 hours. That is a long time. Wow. How funny. And again, could happen and probably has happened to a lot of brokers. But yeah, you're right. What a great opportunity to get to know somebody better. And assuming they're not blaming you, which of course I'm sure they didn't. You have a much more intimate relationship at that point. So, that makes
absolutely. And I've been thinking about getting a Michael Hall Group drone. So if this ever happens again, I can call my team and they can drone over, you know, some drinks and turn it into a picnic.
That's great. Well, Michael, I think that is a great place to end our episode here. And we really appreciate your time. There's so much great advice. And really appreciate you telling your story with us and our listeners. And if there are buyers, sellers, investors, renters, anyone that is in need of a realtor, or maybe they're not happy with their current broker, you should definitely take a look at Michael and his group. You can visit Michael at michaelhallgroup.com. He has a new website coming out, which may or may not be done by the time this podcast is released. However, his current website looks pretty good as is. I know Michael doesn't like it because he's a perfectionist. I think it looks pretty great. So even if this gets out before then, definitely go there. You can also visit him on Facebook, Instagram, all the social networks, Michael Hall. Just search for Michael Hall Group. You'll find him. And you can, you know, obviously reach out to him. Oh, Michael, if there are any clients, customers out there that may be looking to work with you or someone on your team, what's the best way they should reach out to you?
I think that if they go to our website or our social media and just send us a message, all of the formats we have out there have our phone number and a way to email us or message us. So really, it's whatever's better for the client.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, and again, on behalf of Michael and myself, we thank everyone for listening. Again, if there's other brokers in the listeners' offices that are, you know, wanting to learn from people like Michael and want to continue to support this show that we do as a way to give back to the real estate industry that's been very generous to me personally, please let them know about this podcast, this episode, and follow us on Facebook. You can find us at Keeping It Real Pod. Also, our website, keepingitrealpod.com. You can download and stream all of our episodes and all of course, it's on iTunes, Google Play, etc. So anyway, Michael, thank you so much for your time again. This couldn't have gone better. We're so thankful that you took time out of your very, very busy day to do this. So on behalf of Michael and myself, we say thank you, and we will see everyone on the next episode. So thanks, Michael.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.